For quite some time on this program, I've been discussing the Bormann Flight Capital Organization that was administered by Martin Bormann, Hitler's deputy and the most important leader of the Third Reich, at least behind Hitler. And I think overall, I think that Martin Bormann, if history were to be properly written, would prove to be the single most important historical figure of the 20th century. And the story of his Flight Capital Organization, which literally permitted the Third Reich to survive underground, is one of the most important and remarkable stories of clandestine politics and economics in the world today. The Bormann Organization is the single greatest concentration of economic power under a single control in history. The Bormann Group is the second largest stockholder in Standard Oil, behind the Rockefeller family, courtesy of the Hermann Schmitz Fund, of Hermann Schmitz of IG Farben fame. And the Bormann Organization dominates the economy of Europe and also much of the rest of the world as well. It's been discussed in numerous programs that are available from Spitfire, although the original pair of half-hour segments about the Bormann Organization is not commercially available. That is only available to radio stations for airplay. It cannot be purchased. People looking to research the Bormann Organization should look up the landmark book authored by Paul Manning entitled Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile. That book was published in hardcover by Lyle Stewart Press, copyright 1981. The book is not an easy book to come by. It's been out of print, but that's the best one can do. Again, the book, Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, authored by Paul Manning. It was published by Lyle Stewart, copyright 1981. The publisher had his legs broken the week that the book was published. Paul Manning, along with Edward R. Murrow and Walter Cronkite, covered World War II for CBS News in, basically covered the war in Europe for CBS News. Paul Manning broadcast both the Japanese and German surrender ceremonies for CBS News. In order to cover the air war in Western Europe during World War II, he trained as a waste gunner for a B-17, was actually credited with shooting down an ME-109. And then to cover the air war in Japan, he trained as a nose gunner for a B-29, because the planes could not carry extra weight. Paul Manning is one of the most important journalists of the 20th century and a genuinely heroic figure, and his landmark book, Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, is the definitive work on the Bormann Flight Capital Organization and one of the most important and sadly underpublicized books of all time. The fact that it was underpublicized was due to the many putative connections of the remarkable and deadly Bormann Organization about which Paul Manning wrote. A pair of half-hour segments entitled Tides of 20th Century Capital Flow, and also a couple of half-hour segments in which I interviewed Paul Manning's son, Peter Manning. And also, for the record, segments 152, which contain the story of the suppression of the Manning book, will give listeners a running jump about the Bormann Group. There's nothing that I've done in the time that I've been on the air that has been more humbly satisfying to me than accessing the work of Paul Manning. And I was very grateful to receive in the mail from Peter Manning, his son, a translation of an article that appeared in an Israeli monthly publication called Monitin. I'm not sure, probably mispronouncing that. It's spelled M-O-N-I-T-I-N. This was obviously an issue of Monitin in early 1991. The exact date was apparently not on the page, the pages of the original publication. The original magazine, obviously, is in Hebrew. This obviously came out in early 1991 because it was either during the closing stages of or after the Persian Gulf War, and yet obviously before April of 1991. I'm going to read an English translation of this particular article, but sadly I have not got the precise date of the issue of the Israeli publication Monitin, which originally featured this article. That again, is a Tel Aviv monthly spelled M-O-N-I-T-I-N, and this obviously was from early 1991. Paul Manning, the following cover letter from Diane Shalem, then the deputy editor of Monitin. It's dated April 7th of 1991, so obviously the article was from before this particular time. The cover letter reads, "Dear Paul, sorry it took such ages to send you your copies of Monitin, but here they are at last. The story that concerns yourself appears on pages 5, 6, and 7. It is based on a number of sources and some background material, but the star role is certainly yours. There is also a substantial plug for your up-and-coming book. Is it out yet? And then goes on to thank him for his efforts. Sincerely, Diane Shalem, S-H-A-L-E-M, Deputy Editor. By the way, this alludes to a second book that Paul Manning was working on, which never came out as far as I know. There is a cover letter, cover document for this article from Paul Manning. It reads, "The Attached appeared in Monitin, a prestigious monthly magazine in Tel Aviv that is read by Israeli readers and meets with the approval of the government and of Israeli intelligence, the Mossad. It is the lead article and deals with Argentina's nuclear development in cooperation with the Nazis of World War II. It is a forerunner to my new book, In Search of Martin Bormann, the figure who brought Argentina into the thermonuclear age. Translation from the Hebrew was through the kindness and scholarship of Mr. Jack Sparks and Mr. Ozzy Zuckerman of Central Synagogue in New York City." Not only does this article refer to cooperation between Germany and Argentina to develop nuclear weapons, it also alludes to a joint German-Bormann group, Iraqi, Egyptian, and Argentinian collaboration with regard to the Condor II missile project. In addition to Paul Manning, some of the boilerplate research on this connection was done by John Loftus, the former Justice Department investigator and career military officer, who is the author of, among other titles, The Ballara Secret, and with Mark Ahrens, The Secret War Against the Jews, one of the most important books ever written, one that is sadly underpublicized because of its title. So again, I cannot give you the precise date of this particular article from Monitin magazine, and again, I may be mispronouncing that, but this is obviously from the first quarter or so of 1991. I buttonholed a station member who reads Hebrew. He could not find a date anywhere on this particular article, so I cannot give you the precise date. Suffice it to say, this is from an issue of Monitin magazine in early 1991. The article reads as follows. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Peter Manning, Paul Manning's son. I had wondered, by the way, in our discussions with Peter Manning, he mentioned that his brother Jerry had been murdered and that his father had learned through channels that the murder was in retaliation for his work on the Bormann Organization. I wondered why his son was murdered so long after the publication of Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile. This would appear to explain why Jerry was killed in 1993, because Paul Manning was coming out with another book about Martin Bormann. As far as I know, this book never came out, and that is probably, I'm guessing, but that's probably the reason why Jerry Manning was murdered in 1993, was to intimidate Paul into not publishing his new book. His new book was going to be called In Search of Martin Bormann. As far as I know, it never came out. And this, as far as I know, is the last piece of work that Paul Manning was involved in. And again, a tip of the hat to Peter Manning, his son, who forwarded this to me. The article reads, "The Bormann Organization sponsored the development of German nuclear power. After World War II, the organization passed $600 million to Argentina, and in the 60s and 70s, they were constructing some nuclear reactors. Is there any connection between this money and the building of these reactors? A Jewish scientist, a survivor of the Holocaust, was attempting to find out, but in October 1990, his wife, speaking to a friend over the telephone, said, 'Leon is dead.'" Unquote. Quite recently, the Monitin Monthly magazine revealed for the first time ever a secret German plan to develop nuclear arms in cooperation with Argentina and South Africa. The basis for this program, explained the investigator John Loftus, was back in the years of Konrad Adenauer, the first chancellor of the new post-war Germany. By the way, German and South African nuclear cooperation discussed in a miscellaneous archive show from 1985 entitled South Africa, the Third Reich, and the Bomb. Continuing. Resuming again with the last sentence. The basis for this program, explained the investigator John Loftus, was back in the years of Konrad Adenauer, the first chancellor of the new post-war Germany. This means that sometime between 1949 and 1963, when the horrors of the Nazi actions were still fresh in our minds and visions, and despite the promises of German leaders never again to build up a war machine, the start of nuclear arms production was already in place. One of John Loftus's many sources was a journalist living in New Jersey, USA, who wanted at the time to stay anonymous. The Monitin people, however, located him, asked him a few questions, and got as well his permission to identify him to the public. His name is Paul Manning, a journalist and an author who was nominated twice for a Pulitzer Prize. He wrote biographies of Churchill and the Japanese Caesar Hirohito and was well known as a wartime reporter for the CBS network, a very brave frontline reporter. The next section is called Following Borman. Since the early 70s, Manning has given much time and energy to searching for Martin Bormann, who is believed to have been Hitler's closest assistant, and who disappeared like many others following the Nazi defeat. Paul Manning says that Martin Bormann escaped successfully, made his way to South America, and had a major part in establishing the Argentine-German connection. This connection could not have been established, however, says Manning, without great amounts of money that Bormann managed to smuggle from Germany to six other neutral countries. About Argentina, it is well to mention that in the beginning of the 60s, a trade agreement was signed between Germany and Argentina, and this contract had a secret addition to it that described or had the details of the nuclear work between these two countries. Those who signed for the German side were the representatives of the Ministry of Commerce and Industry, people that can be termed simply angels of death in that they were promoting the death industry. The existence of this addition to the contract was revealed and published for the first time in a small Italian paper at the end of the 1970s. The journalist who wrote and published it died very shortly after under very unclear circumstances. Manning found the secret addition through an Argentine diplomat who told him some further details about it as well. Most of the evidence and information regarding the German-Argentine connection Manning got through Dr. Leon Grunbaum, G-R-U-N-B-A-U-M, a Jewish nuclear physicist and a Holocaust survivor who was employed at a nuclear research center in Karlsruhe, Germany. An account of their first meeting, which was in the early 1980s and lasted 3 days, is in Manning's new book, In Search of Martin Bormann. By the way, as far as I know, this was being written in 1991. As far as I know, that book never came out. And again, Paul Manning's son, Jerry, was murdered in 1993. That probably a factor causing the book not to be published. The Suppression of Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, it came out, but was not very well publicized, is discussed not only in the pair of half-hour segments FTR 152, Update on Germany, but also in a half-hour segment in which I access some of Paul Manning's correspondence with key American journalistic figures. And again, those are available from Spitfire. Returning to this article. Talking to Monitin, Manning recalled that the Jewish scientists suspected that he was being followed, and he also feared that his life was in danger. Bear in mind that the Italian journalist who disclosed the Argentine-German nuclear connection died under strained circumstances shortly thereafter. When I refer to the Bormann organization as remarkable and deadly, it is because it is both. Continuing. Dr. Grunbaum was sure, said Manning, that this Argentine-German joint nuclear program had reached the capacity to manufacture nuclear arms. The last contact between Manning and Grunbaum was early last year. Grunbaum spoke on the telephone from Switzerland and provided new details, such as that the nuclear cooperation had started in 1946 under the presidency of Juan Perón and had been directed by Martin Bormann. At that time, about 50,000 Nazis were moving to Argentina, bringing with them at least $600 million in notes, gold, diamonds, and shares in international corporations. A report by the U.S. Treasury Department stated that in 1946, German industries had been for 2 years building up 750 companies and corporations outside Germany in Spain, Portugal, Turkey, Argentina, and Switzerland. A $100 million of this sum was diverted to help Juan Perón to establish his regime. Juan Perón and Martin Bormann shared a joint bank account in Buenos Aires. The next section is entitled U-235. As Manning has said, this has to do with the Bormann Organization. A secret group that is now led by Bormann's son, Adolf, has many branches that are keeping close relationships with different countries, including our own. Bear in mind, that reference here would be to Israel, since this is from an Israeli publication. Note before resuming this that this article talks about the most up-to-date information about the Bormann Organization that I've seen, and that the organization was allegedly headed up in the early 90s by Bormann's son, Adolf Martin Bormann, and also his sister, Naomi. Continuing. A secret group that is now led by Bormann's son, Adolf, has many branches that are keeping close relationships with different countries, including our own. The two major Arab countries that are holding close connections these days with the Borman Organization are Egypt and Iraq. Grunbaum disclosed to Manning that the Borman Organization was extremely active after uranium was found and processed in Argentina. To the best of his knowledge, Dr. Walter Schnurr, S-C-H-N-U-R-R, was the one conducting these activities. Dr. Schnurr was a Nazi arms specialist and was the head scientist at IG Farben Industries. At first, Schnurr was trying to keep up the nuclear project initiated by the Nazis. It had been established based on the use of heavy water, but he failed in this. A time later, in September of 1965, under the regime of the army generals that had taken over the Buenos Aires government, the Siemens company built a nuclear reactor named Atucha 1 near Buenos Aires, as well as a laboratory to separate plutonium-239 isotope radioactive uranium-235 that makes it possible to prepare from it atomic bombs. Thereupon, there was another arrangement regarding the German company's rights to dig for uranium in Argentina. In 1974, the nuclear reactor Atucha 2 was constructed in Argentina, raising some concerns about its proximity to the international airport. Nearby, some big systems are working to separate by centrifugal force uranium-235, the original nuclear explosives, from the natural uranium. Such a system can definitely interact with the production of nuclear arms. It's hard to tell what will be the use of this power for civilian needs in Argentina, unless it is also being readied for nuclear power, that is, had this reactor belonged only to Argentina. Therefore, there is good reason to believe that this reactor is being used and run by others such as Germany for arms. Walter Goodman wrote last year in the New York Times that the biggest losers in the destruction of the Berlin Wall were the authors of spy stories. Since World War II, authors like Jean Le Carré, Lynn Dayton, and Ian Fleming had their work done ahead of time, their readers being asked to identify through Western agents, especially British, the major secrets and ingenious arms systems supposed to be uncovered in the course of the story. As talented and imaginative as the authors were, they always faced the problem of finding symbols that would express quite readily the dramatic message to the reader. In this case, they won't have to look for such symbols or facts. Manning's book, In Search of Martin Borman, is filled up with Cold War heroes, people of the CIA, the British MI6, and the KGB, mingling and touching and interacting closely. But in this cast, there's a fourth element of thousands of SS officers, to be more precise, 50,000 of them, who were the core of Nazi military leadership in World War II and who found shelter in South America. And these, by the way, again, interrupting the reading, the Manning book In Search of Martin Borman never came out, as far as I know, and was probably the reason for the murder of his son Jerry in 1993. It's about the same time period as this article was published. Continuing. In these enterprises, there was great concern for a sort of military hierarchy. Of course, today we are talking about the second generation of this population group, their sons and daughters, and their brides and grooms. Of these 50,000 people that had run the Nazi terror, by the way, if some of the verbiage seems a little awkward here, this is translated from Hebrew, so that would account for that. Resuming again with the discussion of the second generation of SS, the sons and daughters of the original 50,000 who fled Nazi Germany and became the core of not only the Bormann Organization, but what I have termed the Underground Reich, we read, "There is not very great change in the hierarchy of this group internally. Power was passed from father to son, and titles were granted from fathers to daughters or through their husbands. In the past 45 years, none of this group married outside of the framework, the only exceptions being those who got permission to marry into families in Germany. Their Nazi purity is absolutely without doubt. For instance, today this organization is ruled by the son and the daughter of Bormann, Hitler's vice chancellor, his second in command, Martin Bormann. Trying to get into this cruel, dark world was always an extremely hard task, and a very dangerous one as well. Sometimes it seems that today such an investigation or penetration is even more dangerous than it would have been in years past. Such was my experience when many years ago I was trying to find out whether Martin Bormann was in fact dead, or had, as the information indicated, actually managed to escape from Berlin and is still alive. One thing I determined for sure that in the countries of South America, especially in Argentina, there is a secret and powerful organization that holds the name the Borman Organization. The founders were leaders for this purpose when the defeat of the Third Reich was completed. I have no doubts today that the organization is responsible for much that happened in the West, for what is called the economic miracle of the West German Republic. By the way, I would interject that the Borman Organization is responsible for a great deal of history that has not been attributed to it, including, to a considerable extent, the assassination of President Kennedy, in mine and others' opinions. In the two interviews with Peter Manning, he revealed to us that his father had learned and was of the opinion that the Kennedy assassination, the core group of the Kennedy assassination, was indeed the Borman group. And that, again, in a pair of half-hour interviews with Peter Manning that are available from Spitfire. That's, I've forgotten the numbers of the for-the-record designations offhand. Resuming again with this text, this translation of an article from the Israeli publication Monitin from the first few months of 1991. And speaking of the Borman Organization, this author writes, "The founders were leaders for this purpose when the defeat of the Third Reich was completed. I have no doubts today that the organization is responsible for much of what happened in the West, for what is called the economic miracle of the West German Republic. When, in Paris, agreements were signed between the winning allies of World War II and West Germany in 1954, the huge amount of money that was collected was from the 750 companies, international companies, that the Borman Organization, through their offices in the German, of the Borman Organization, through their offices in the German Republic. Those great funds helped to establish Germany's international financial situation in today's world. This money allowed the Germans to stay at exactly the same point they had been prior to World War II. Germany is a natural candidate to be one of the three major players in the world economy, together with the United States and Japan. The Borman Organization is managed today by Adolf, how symbolic, Martin Borman, and his sister Naomi Borman, leading a group of 20 German bankers and industrialists and economists, 10 of the Nazi community in South America, and 10 in West Germany. This constitutes one of the most mysterious and powerful groups in our world today. Their personal security is connected to the security of companies and corporations, and their money is protected and assured by a group of generals, past SS generals, and their sons. Beside their civilian titles, they carry military rankings that were commonly used in Nazi Germany. My research indicated that these generals and their sons are running one of the largest and most ingenious information systems comparable to any in the United States and Western Europe." By the way, by information systems here, the author means intelligence agencies or intelligence organizations. Again, this is about the most up-to-date reportage I've seen on the Borman Group, and indicates that at least the allegation is made here that Martin Borman's son, Adolf Martin, and his daughter, Naomi, run the Borman Organization, and that the board of directors basically consists of 10 of the Nazi community in Latin America and 10 more from Germany proper. And the reportage accessed here also alleges that the key members of the Borman Group use military titles that had been held in Nazi Germany. Sort of, again, when I talk about the underground Reich, this is the core of what I'm talking about. And they exerted political control over other better-known elements, such as the Gehlen Organization, whose head, Reinhard Gehlen, reported to Heinrich Müller, the former Gestapo head and SS general, who was the security director for the Borman Organization, and every bit the genius with regard to the matters of intelligence and security that Martin Borman was with regard to political and economic organization. And again, one should not underestimate the abilities or the resources of this group. And again, my view of the Borman Group is that, barring a sea change in world affairs, they will prove to be the dominant element, the decisive element in human affairs on this planet. That's why they figure into my analysis as importantly as they do. Quite simply, I think they're going to prove to be the single most important element in human affairs on this planet. And I believe that, barring a sea change, the future is going to be Hitler's. This is not a very optimistic viewpoint, But I strive, as I've said before, for accurate analysis, and I'm afraid this is what is going to happen. And so consequently, I'm presenting what I believe to be the most accurate presentation of information available, hence my discussions of the Borman Group, which I believe rules the roost at this stage of the game. Continuing. And resuming again with the last couple of sentences. My research indicated that these generals and their sons are running one of the largest and most ingenious information systems comparable to any in the United States and Western Europe. The mission of this network is to present as unreliable every and any written or as unreliable every and any report or written words about the Borman organization and the entire Nazi group in South America. Such a system, such a network, is there to conceal the amount of businesses, contracts, and so forth that amounts to billions of dollars. They are the biggest lenders on the South American continent, and, above all, they are responsible for the research and development of a nuclear arms system in Argentina and Brazil. And in the other half-hour segment of this series, we're going to not only finish up the reading of this article, but present some supplemental information as well. I've alluded to various tapes that are available from the tape duplication service. There are a number of tapes that contain discussion of the Borman organization. Please note, though, that the 2 half-hour segments in which I set forth the details concerning the Borman organization are not available to the public. Those are only available to radio stations for airplay only. Those are not for sale and will not be sold to the general public. There are a number of other segments, however, that talk about the Borman organization and give a synopsis of that. Those are available from Spitfire and can be accessed on the Spitfire website. Spitfire is one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E. They can be located at P.O. Box 1179. That's P.O. Box 1179. That's in Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address for Spitfire is spitfire@ix.netcom.com. Once again, that's spitfire@ix.netcom.com. The Spitfire website is at www.spitfirelist.com. Once again, that's www.spitfirelist.com. And the people who do not have access to the World Wide Web can contact Spitfire, and they will be sent a list of the various tapes that are available from Spitfire. I get a small royalty from the sale of the archive shows only. I get no monies from recent, present, or future on-air endeavors. We're going to continue with this remarkable article from the Israeli publication Monitin from early 1991. That, however, is going to take place in our next half-hour segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.